Is just trying harder going to fix your shortcomings? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with evangelists Han and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, evangelist Han Lay.
Well, then in the show, you're going to hear from Beverly Weaver, who tried so hard to make her parents' expectations, but just kept coming short.
Yeah, and I think we have a certain set of expectations on the way things should be and look and feel.
Yeah.
And when we miss it, we try to fix it or make things better.
That was totally me. You know, I'm being Asian really came from a very perfectionist background.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of pressure to do things perfect, to be perfect. And when I had a shortcoming or a failure, I would beat myself up. You know, I would be like, oh, you bleepity bleep bleep bleep, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
But that's kind of how I always, my approach to that.
Yeah, you would get down on yourself and say, and I would do that too. I would say, you're so stupid, Kathleen. How could you do that? Right. How could you mess up? And sometimes we beat ourselves up because we blew it. We did something wrong. We feel stupid. So not only is it hard for us when someone else is telling us something, but we tell ourselves, and that's even worse because it's this cycle in your head.
Well, you know, it really is, and it never does get better.
Mm-hmm.
I look back now, and all the years of that way of doing it was never better. And what I love about the Bible and how I got really free from a lot of my shortcomings, or what the Bible calls a sin,
mm-hmm.
was that I just focused on God.
Right.
When I focused on God and His goodness, those other things began to just melt away.
Right.
I didn't have to beat myself up. I didn't have to get super disciplined like a ninja or anything like that.
Right.
I just needed to just give it to God and mm-hmm. trust Him. And it just melted away.
And for me, I think even with knowing the Lord finally, I thought that if I work harder in one way, I can make it up to God. Like if I blew it, like if I sinned or did something wrong, I'll be really good in this area, try to make it up to God. Like I can work my way to God and be a good kid. Like, look, see, I did this today. I started this ministry. I helped this person. But really, we can't work our way to God. It's because of Jesus who forgives us of our sins, and there's grace and there's mercy and there's love.
Well, that's why the Bible says that all have fallen short of the glory of God. That means no matter who you are or who is listening, we've all fallen short.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay that we have shortcomings.
We're going to make mistakes.
Yeah, but Jesus died to make those things that we're not good at
mm-hmm.
to fulfill those parts
right,
in our lives.
And we need to stop criticizing ourselves and cutting ourselves down. God loves us. Speak life to yourself. Stay tuned for Beverly's story right here after the break.
Real Life is made possible by people like you. We'd like to take this opportunity to sincerely thank you for your generous support. We couldn't do it without you. May God bless.
Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Han Lay.
Hello, everyone.
We have Beverly Weaver with us. She has really been through a lot in her life. She felt like she had to work her way to God. She always felt unworthy. Though she went to church, she didn't really feel loved.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until she surrendered to God that things started to change. But between that, she did a lot of things that she found hurt and pain and regret. So let's go ahead and bring her on the show. Beverly, welcome to Real Life.
Hello.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. So tell me about when you were younger, you were just trying all that you could to be good and not to sin. What did you go through at that time and how were you feeling?
Well, as young as I can remember, I just always loved the Lord, and I always wanted to be good enough and tried hard to do good enough for His love, but I always felt unworthy and not good enough. The more I tried to do good, then I would mess up, which led me to feel like I was stupid or a failure, and you know, it was just like a cycle of ups and downs throughout puberty, through my teenage years, all into my adulthood life. And it was basically because I thought it was my willpower that I had to be strong enough to be good enough. Looking back now, I realized I focused on staying away from the sin. And the more I focused on the sin, the closer I wound up getting to it. For instance, like in teenage years, we were taught you're to not have sex. But there was so much in between a first kiss and that final moment that nobody really explained. So it was like I would wind up playing with fire and not even knowing how I got to those feelings and things, because I was focusing on not having sex versus focusing on Christ and just looking at his glory, you know, focus on his glory, and sin just kind of falls away.
Right.
But I didn't get that for many, many, many years.
Right. So you were a virgin, but you didn't make it to marriage. You felt really bad and ended up getting pregnant. What happened with that situation?
The man who wanted me and my first husband, we'd known each other since we were in kindergarten. We grew up together in church. Our first kiss, I was 10 behind the church building. But then he became like my best friend. But in my later teens, we became intimate. We fell in love, but we still tried to not go too far. But we did. When I was 17, I wound up pregnant. My father was an elder in the church, and all I could see was shame. I didn't understand grace. We weren't really taught about grace. And even though in debate classes throughout school I was against abortions, when it came to it, I was so scared and thought my family would disown me. Because of my shame, I couldn't talk to anybody except for one girlfriend, and she more or less said, well, you know, you've just got to do whatever you want to do. And he was like, too young for this. I can't handle it. So I answered an ad in the newspaper that was giving out free pregnancy tests. So I went there. I was underage. They didn't ask for an ID. They didn't ask for anything. But basically, I found out at the end that, yes, I was pregnant. But I had to sign a contract where I would have to pay money for this pregnancy test, which I did not have, or I would have to have a termination of pregnancy, and the test would be free. Of course, I was still young and dumb, not putting it all together. But basically, I found myself in the midst of an abortion that I did not want, and I had no other choice at the moment. And even laying on the table, I'm like, I don't want to do this. Stop. And they told me it was too late. I wouldn't have come this far if I didn't want it. So it was not stopped. And as I said, I was only 17 years old. So that led for nightmares and all that kind of stuff. And found myself 6 months later having sex once again with the same man and getting pregnant again. That time we did get married and did have a marriage that lasted for like 16 years. But it was not without its struggle.
Right. Well, now there are people listening who have had abortions, and maybe they've hidden these abortions, or there's young girls listening, or even men who are scared because their girlfriend got pregnant, or these young 13-year-olds are getting pregnant. And what would you say to them right now about that? Like, you felt trapped. You went into this place and you thought you were getting a pregnancy test, but ended up with the abortion. If you could do it over, what would you do different?
I would have told somebody. I did not realize until I was in my late 40s that shame and guilt were not godly attributes. So I did not tell people. I grew up in a church that was very strict and legalistic, and yet because we didn't really show grace, I did not realize how freeing that would be. If I had it to do over again, I would definitely have told somebody. If there had been one person holding one poster on the sidewalk, that's why I'm a very strong supporter of that. Even if it were across the street, I would not have gone through with it.
Right.
In hindsight, I talked about it for the first time in my mid-40s when I got into a church which very much taught grace, and found myself, in not even being there 2 weeks, just letting everything out of my life in a ladies' class one night. And it was the most freeing thing I'd ever done. Nobody looked at me like I was this horrible person. I just, all my garbage through all my life had come out, and they all loved me. And nobody was yelling at me for being a bad person.
Wow.
And that just changed my life. It changed my life.
And that's what we want people to know right now, is that God loves them no matter what they've done, that there's grace and mercy for their life. If they're alive and well right now, God is seeking them. And I know through your life, you just went through a conglomerate of things where you ended up with divorce. You had even committed an affair. It was just this cycle of works, 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 and it brought you to just mental anguish and problems, and you ended up seeking men for approval and love. But the only way you found freedom was through Jesus Christ, and it was the moment you said, God, I just surrender to you. It's no longer men I seek. It's no longer approval of men or trying to work my way to you, but I surrender to you. I can't do it on my own. And so it's all about grace. And when you did that unworthiness leave you?
It was wonderful. When I got the grace, that changed everything for me. The grace, what it did for me was show me that no matter what I lived through, at my very worst moment, he would have still died for me alone. There was nobody else on the face of the earth. Even if I was in the gutter in my absolute worst place, he loved me, and it wasn't what I was doing. The way he saw me was not, you're a bad person. The way that he saw me was as a brokenhearted father because I was making all these messes in my life. I used to see God kind of as, you know, he's this king, you're supposed to bow down, worship, where that is true. But I saw him as if I made a mistake, he was the evil father that was going to beat me upside the head every time I screwed up. Excuse my language, but that's how I saw him. And then after I saw grace, it was like he's this big papa that if you fall down, he's going to pick you up and kiss your wounded knees and you know, like put you on a bicycle and let's go again. Okay, you fell down, but let's get out of the mud and start all over. And it changed everything for me.
Well, Beverly, there are people listening now that need prayer. And thank you so much for sharing your story and how God brought you from unworthiness to feeling his love and acceptance and also your identity found in Christ. And we're going to pray for those listening right now who need what you have. God bless you. Thank you for sharing your powerful story.
I think this is a great story about how living just law never gets us there. It's by the grace of God that we're saved. And it's by the grace of God when we realize that God wants us to succeed, but not only that, he will empower us to live a holy life.
Yes.
Father, I'm praying right now for our listeners that there's somebody who's saying, you know, I'm trying so hard and I keep failing and I feel so unworthy and I feel like so full of shame and I keep messing up in bad ways.
Yes.
Father, I pray for your grace to begin filling their lives right now in the name of Jesus. But not just a grace of feeling like a feel-good grace, but it's something that makes them feel good, but that empowers them to live a truly free, holy life. We ask for this in the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, right now, in the power of Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And yet, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That's what the Bible says. And if Jesus accepts you, who can reject you? You are not alone and you are not rejected. God loves you and he's calling out to you. God bless you all. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.